Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Thank you very much. Preaching from a new Bible. Spirit-filled life Bible.
Come on.
Oh yeah, I tell you what, I recommend it to you guys. It is a great resource. Enough advertising for the Spirit-Filled Life Bible.
Did you say Spirit-Filled Life Bible?
I did. Oh, let's get me other glasses on. We'll see what I'm doing then. Right. That's better. Right. If you'd like a title, here it is. Momentum. The Rise and Fall of King Saul. That rhymes. Excellent. There once was a king called Saul. His faith was incredibly small. He was so full of fear, he grabbed hold of his spear and tried to pin David to the wall. Join that. Poet Laureate. I can feel it coming down. Sorry?
We're going to continue in that.
Going to continue? Do you want me to? We'll see. Well, that was a story, actually. The preach is over. No, not really. Okay, so last week, Pastor Shane introduced the series of Momentum. There was something that I did disagree with. He was talking about Liverpool, saying they've lost momentum. So we've now got 4 wins out of 5, and so you know, I think we're getting that momentum back. So yeah, amen. But yeah, we're talking about Saul. So where are we going to be? No, not Kings.
Samuel.
Might have been Saul of Tarsus. No, all right. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 is where we're starting. So, just keep your finger in the book of Samuel, because we're going to do a whistle-stop tour of King Saul's life. We're going to be speeding like a bullet train. It's not up there, but you've seen the picture. Yeah, we're just going to move through some of the things in Saul's life and see how that is relevant to us. And what we should do, what we shouldn't do, etc. So, verse 5 says this. So, it is the people, some of the elders, talking to Samuel, who was the prophet. He was the judge at that time. So, basically, he was the ruler over Israel, God's man. And they came to him and they said, "Look," they told him, "you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have." So, Saul was the people's choice. But God, through Jacob, had prophesied that a ruler was going to come through the tribe of Judah. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 49. Lesson number 1 for us: don't say to God, "give me what I want." Because it doesn't always work out the way that you want it to be. Or if it does, you may find out it turns out to be a bit of a nightmare. Okay. So what we've got to say is, thank you, God, that you only give me what is good for me. And I pray, Lord, if there's something I'm asking for that's not good, don't let me have it. I was reading this week about Billy Graham's wife, and she said, "There are many times I thank God that he didn't answer my prayers, because I probably would have married the wrong man about 5 times over." Okay, so I'm sure we can look back, and I know I can anyway, look back at my life and thank God that he hasn't answered some of the prayers that I have sent up to him. Okay, so we've got some lessons to learn from Saul, good and bad. So he starts well, and we're gonna join the story where he's looking for his donkeys, like you do in those days anyway. So he's looking for his donkeys because they've run away. And God sets up for him a supernatural meeting with a prophet, and his life changes forever. So we're now into 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. I suppose he's just minding his own business, looking for donkey droppings, and he's not managing to find any. And he runs into a strange-looking fellow, and this is what happens. "Don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes." In other words, what he's telling him, "Son, you're going to be the king." That's quite a revelation to get, isn't it, when you're out there looking for your donkeys? Okay, Saul replied, "But I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking to me like this?" Or loosely translated, "What are you going on about?" Okay, now we're into chapter 10, verse 9. "As Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart, and all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day." I believe some translations say, "God changed him into a different man." Fantastic, eh? When God's Spirit comes upon you, something is supposed to change.
Yeah.
All right. When you become a Christian, something's supposed to change. If you've been a Christian for some time and nothing's changed, please come and see us afterwards, and we shall pray for you. Okay. So God's Spirit is there to impact our lives. We're supposed to be impacted by God, and things change for the better.
Yeah.
He brings a new dynamic to us. We see things more clearly, okay? And there's a supernatural abundance that is there for us from God, from heaven. You know, and we're supposed to be there to be better people, lights shining in the darkness because of what he has done for us. So here he is. He's a reluctant hero. He's a bit shy, bless him. All right, so I'm on to verse 22 and 24. Samuel's told him, he's going to be the king. He knows that already. So they're going to do a swearing-in ceremony. And he's gathered all the people together. And Saul, feeling a bit shy, he's playing hide-and-seek. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He's hiding among the baggage." So they found him and brought him out. And he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Verse 24, "Then Samuel said to all the people, 'This is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him.' And all the people shouted, 'Long live the king!'" It's good, and it's a good story, isn't it? He was a good-looking boy, the Bible tells us, so I'm sure the ladies looked at him and thought, like him. But and all the fellas thought, yeah, I could follow that man. He's big, he's stocky, he's a good-looking chap. You know, he was a man that the people liked. Okay, now to gain momentum, oftentimes we need a confidence. And we need to be confident in who God says we are. Okay? Right, we're confident in our gifting because of the giver, not just because of our ability. Yeah. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one that works through us, so we can be confident in the gifting that God has given us. So if we're leading, we can lead. If we're serving, we can serve well. If we're teaching, we can teach well. And if we're gifted at giving, we can give generously, etc. Down for all the gifts. You know, God will make us good at things.
Yeah.
That's the way that it works. Because God is good, and if he's pouring his Spirit through us, then what we do is going to be good.
Yes.
Don't let anybody steal your confidence in God's gift into you. It's an enemy tactic. I'll tell you why that is. It's because the devil is jealous because he got the sack. He wasn't very good at his job. So he got the sack. And God said, "Off you go. You're supposed to be the worship leader in heaven. You're not doing a very good job. Sorry, you're fired." You're fired. Is that it of it? Okay. God intends to use you.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. God intends to use you.
Amen.
Oh, you're thinking about it. God intends to use you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's better. Is it a little bit quiet this morning? You're a little bit quiet. Okay. Verse 26 and 27. Where's verse 26 and 27 got to? Right. At the bottom. Oh, sausages. Ah, here we go. Yep. I'm still in chapter 10, that's why. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going too fast for my own good. Right, when Saul returned to his home at Gibeah, a group of men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But there were some scoundrels who complained, "How can this man save us?" And they scorned him and refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them. Okay, so there was two things happened. God touched people's hearts to follow the leader. So yeah, a leader has followers. Our leader is Pastor Shane. And Pastor Shane has followers. And something else has happened here. There were scoundrels. And it's a usual pattern. You find it as you're looking through the Bible. There are scoundrels and there are followers. And you can see it every time a new king kind of comes along. Basically, scoundrels, they don't like to follow. They like to complain, even against the Lord's anointed. And to not give gifts in the context that we're talking about was like a real insult. Because that was something that happened when if a new leader was declared, then gifts were to be given. And it's an insult, and it's a scorn to speak against against a leader. And let me tell you, folks, that's a very bad idea if you're going to be up to that. Okay? But we're not like that, are we? Okay. Right. I like what Saul did. He ignored them. He kind of gave them the talk to the hand, lads. Talk to the hand. I'm not going to listen to what you got to say. Basically, they didn't like the new fella. They didn't like the new fella. You know, we bring that into our context. You know, Pastor Shane's the new fellow, if you like. All right? But some of the guys there, they didn't like the new fella. But what we do, we ignore scoffing scoundrels. You ever come into a leadership position, or if you ever get promoted at work or whatever, you know, wherever God takes you, brings you into an area of gifting, perhaps somebody doesn't like the new things you do or whatever, or the way you play or the way you do things. Hey, don't worry about it, you know. Ignore the scoffing scoundrels. Give them the hand. Give them the hand. All right. Talk to the hand. All right. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders. This is the NIV. And submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. New Living Translation says, obey your leaders. Okay, but we know all about that. We've had that teaching, haven't we? Okay? We obey our leaders and we submit to them. Okay, so we're looking at some of Saul's momentum now. He starts to really pick up his gifting. We're in chapter 11 and we're looking at verse 6 and 7. The enemy are coming against Israel and they're threatening some of Israel's people. Saul, he's just been anointed as the leader, but he's kind of back on his farm, and he hears about the king who's coming against him. He's threatening to gouge out everybody's eyes. He says, I'll let you live, but I'm going to have to take out your eye. And this news kind of comes to Saul, and he gets mad. Okay, sometimes it's good to get angry at what the enemy is doing around us and what he's doing in people's lives. It's good. Anger can drive us to do something in Jesus' name. Okay. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he became very angry. He took two oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the messengers to carry them throughout Israel with this message. This will happen to the oxen and anyone who refuses to follow Saul and Samuel into battle. And the Lord made the people afraid of Saul's anger. And all of them came out together as one. And basically, the end of the story, he fights and he wins the battle. We're going down to verse 12 and 13 now. Then the people exclaimed to Samuel, "Now where are those men who said, 'Why should Saul rule over us?' Bring them here and we will kill them." And here's grace in action. And Saul replied, "No one will be executed today, for today the Lord has rescued Israel." Thank God there is grace for us. Yeah? When we step out of action or we step out of line, there's grace for us to bring us back into line. Okay. Right. Saul's test. One of God's fail-proof tests of character is the patience test. Can we wait for God to act, or do we take things into our own hands? I'm in chapter 13 now, verse 8. And the story's continued. They're at war again, like they always seem to be in those days. Guys, we're at war as well, whether we realise it or not. We're in a spiritual battle. There's always battles for us to be fighting, and we need to be able to see what the enemy's up to, and we come against it by prayer and in the name of Jesus and by faith. Verse 8. So, the Philistines are coming against them, and Saul was waiting for Samuel to come. Saul waited for 7 days for Samuel. Now Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. Verse 13. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for he has sought a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. I realize I missed out a verse there, so I'm going to read verse 9. He demanded, bring me the burnt offering, this is Saul, and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offerings himself. Now Saul, he was the king. He wasn't supposed to offer the sacrifice. That was only a priest's job. And he wasn't allowed to offer a sacrifice. Only the priest can do that. And we know that there's only one priest king, and his name is?
Jesus.
10 out of 10. That's right. Okay. Sometimes, if God wants us to wait, it can be a W-E-I-G-H-T, a wait upon us, okay? Now, that wait is there to teach us or to give us spiritual muscles. Where's Charlene? She upstairs. She was doing that physical workout this morning. One of the physical way that God gives us a physical workout is by causing us to be built spiritually. And the way that you can do that in faith, the way he builds faith into us, is can we wait for God to move? You know, oftentimes that happens. I don't know whether you've ever experienced, anybody ever experienced having to wait for God to do something? You're praying, and you're waiting for God to move. And it feels like a wait. Oh, God, can you do something? Can you do something? You know, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe him, to keep on praising him, and to keep on believing him, and to keep on thanking him for the answers to prayer that we have uttered up to him. And in its fullness of time, and when God knows that the time is right, he's going to release that answer, and you're going to see your prayers answered. But yeah, it can be a real kind of weight to us at time. Unfortunately, Saul, he failed the test, and he couldn't wait. And as soon as he made the offering, that's when Samuel turned up and gave him his rebuke. It's a shame. It's a shame. You know, if he'd consulted the Lord, I think he would have avoided that loss. So we're on to chapter 14. Our decisions make a difference, especially if we've got any kind of leadership responsibility. So let's give a bit of background to chapter 14. Jonathan and his armor bearer decide they're going to sneak out and just take on the whole of the Philistine army all by themselves, just like you do, you know. Come on, we're going to have a fight. We're going to take on the army over there, and we're going to see what God is going to do. And God gets so excited by his faith. I believe he's just kind of there. Just come, right, that's it. I'm going to join in with these lads. This is a good fight. These are my kind of odds. And God miraculously intervenes, and there's an awesome victory that comes from that step of faith that Jonathan made that day. So King Saul, he's back in the camp. He's wondering what's going on there. There's rumblings in the countryside. They can see Philistines running for their lives and chopping each other up to bits. And he says, all right, lads, that's enough. Let's all get into the battle. And all the Israelites start charging at the Philistines. And there's one big battle. Now, he says something that sounds very spiritual. But what he decides to do is to call a fast. He says, nobody is going to eat until I've had vengeance upon my enemies. So there's a battle that's raging all day long. It's hot out there. I don't know whether you've been out to the Middle East, but they tell me it's pretty hot out there. And so they're fighting, and they're running after the enemy. And of course, things are going to happen. You're going to start feeling weak. But they couldn't refresh themselves. They couldn't eat. And so they began to feel weak. And let me tell you, that is not wisdom. So verse 24. Now, the men of Israel were pressed to exhaustion that day because Saul had placed them under an oath, saying, "Let a curse fall on anyone who eats before evening, before I have full revenge on my enemies." So nobody ate anything all of that day. Okay, so it actually caused the men of Israel to sin. And it also caused Jonathan, who brought around the victory, even though it was unintentional, it caused him to sin as well. Okay, so we're still in the battle, and something interesting happens as we look further on in chapter 14, verse 37 to 39. So Saul asked God, "Should we go after the Philistines? Will you help us defeat them?" But God made no reply that day. Then Saul said to the leaders, "Something's wrong. I want all my army commanders to come here. We must find out what sin was committed today." I think I've spoken on this before. But what it was, the king, he'd given a command, and even though unintentionally, that command had been overridden. Okay? So the king, being God's representative, even though he made a foolish vow, even though he told nobody's supposed to eat, even though it was a bad idea in the first place, the people still had to do what the king said, because the king is God's representative. Okay, so do we get the picture? Our context: we should respect our leaders' decisions, even if we disagree with it. Not saying that Pastor Shane's unwise or anything like that, but all I'm saying is, if we think it's unwise, doesn't matter. We've got to do what we've been told, basically, by our leaders. Not saying they go, you know, if they ask you to sin, all right, I'll just put that out there. Not that they would, but you know what I'm saying, don't you? Okay, they could have double whooped the Philistines if Saul hadn't been so super spiritual. But the point I'm trying to get over is, hey, let's do what we're told, yeah? Now, the trouble with being super spiritual is that you just can't keep it up. You and everybody around you, they're going to get tired out by it. Okay, just like the army did. You know, it put out this super spiritual command: nobody's supposed to eat. And I don't know whether you've ever kind of met super spiritual people. They're not necessarily fun to be with. They can kind of tire you out because they're pretty false, just like the Pharisees were back in Jesus' day. You know, they're putting all these demands, all these commands on people that they couldn't bear. You know, the burden was just too much for the people, as Jesus said to them. So let's not be super spiritual, okay? Let's have fun. God wants us to enjoy life. Yeah. Not by sinning, because that's going to destroy you. But, you know, we're allowed to enjoy our lives, yeah?
Yeah.
God intends that for us.
Yeah.
Yes. He is the God of joy. Yeah. Right. Chapter 15. Whizzing along. Another chapter, and there's another fight. In those days, it was overcome or be overrun. So spiritually speaking, it's the same for us. Like I was saying, we're in a war, but we don't fight it with guns and bombs. We've got different weapons, yeah? Weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, the Bible tells us. Our battle is fought through prayer and spreading the good news, saving lives, not destroying them. We've seen that different kind of spirit, haven't we? And Pastor Shane's already alluded to it. Things that have been going on over in Paris, you know, there's a spirit behind that. And that's the kind of things that we can pray against and pray into, that peace would break out. Okay. Amen. So Saul's momentum starts to go into reverse here as we start to see him make more bad decisions, and things start to happen in his life that lead him on a downward spiral. Okay. Like I say, he was the people's choice, and he chose to please the people rather than please God. So in this particular battle, chapter 15, he was told to destroy everything that the Amalekites owned. But instead of doing that, he kept some of the plunder for himself. Let's read what it says in verse 24 through to 31. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, "Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people." That's interesting, isn't it? We're not to be afraid of the people. "And did what they demanded. But now, please forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you, since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else who is better than you. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not a human, and that he should change his mind. Then Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned, but please at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him, and Saul worshiped the Lord. We can see there, can't we, that Saul wants to look good in front of his people. He's not so concerned about how he looks in front of God. He's more concerned about how he looks in front of the people. Now, it may seem kind of harsh to us that God has said this to him, but we read in Luke 12:48, says, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And God had given him the kingship of Israel, and he expected much from him. Yeah. So whatever God gives us, he expects a return, okay? To whom much is given, much is required. Yeah. It's a challenge to us, isn't it? Mm. So sure enough, God leaves him, and where God leaves, something bad is going to fill the vacuum. And, you know, we can take that into our lives as well, where we've got areas in our life that we've left vacant of God's Spirit, where we won't let God's Spirit touch, or there are areas that used to be committed to God that are no longer committed to God, then other things are going to take that place. And whatever it is, even with grace, even with mercy, it's not going to be as good as what God had for you or wanted for you. Okay, so 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Okay, so God moves out. Something else is going to move in to take his place. It's the opposite of God's will. You know, God's intention is for us to be blessed. One gracious blessing after another. That's God's intention for us. That's what he wants for every single one of us within this room. For every Christian, for every believer. That's what he died to release to us. He has released it to us. Okay, God fills us with good stuff. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those good things of God that he wants to fill us with. And I won't go into the opposite list, all right? But we can get there, you know. If there are things that we know that, hey, I used to be having God fill in this area of my life or whatever, there is repentance for us, there is grace for us, and we can get back to the place where we were at first. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, repent and do the things you did at first. I'm always repenting. It's fine, you know. Don't stress about it. You know, if there's something to repent of, just repent of it. You know, get back to that place where God wants you to be. It's a wonderful gift. All right. For depression and fear, get your praise and get your faith on. Okay. So, you want to get some momentum. You're feeling depressed. You're feeling fearful. You need to get some faith on, okay? You need to praise you, Jesus. I believe your promises. Praise you, Jesus. All your promises are true. You're going to pour out your spirit upon me because you've promised to release me. And soon enough, you start to find that you've gained your momentum again. You're walking in faith. You're walking in praise. You're getting your eyes back where they're supposed to be. Back on God. Yeah. Back on Jesus. Yes. Okay, so we're back to Saul. When the tormenting spirit came, what did he do? What else did he do? Sometimes when you feel as though you're tormented, his men gave him some good advice. Get a man of God along. Get a man of God alongside you. He will come and he will be able to play. And that man of God was David. So he got his harp. He was an anointed singer. He got his praise on, you know. Get a man of God alongside you when you're feeling down and when you're feeling depressed, and they can help you break through to another place. It's good advice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Poor old Saul, it's getting worse for him. Here we go, we're in chapter 18 now, verse 7 to 9. David's burst onto the scene now. He's killed Goliath, And everybody loves David. He's the new kid on the block, the fresh-faced kid. And the girls, they spark up a song and they start to sing. I don't know how the song would have went, you know. So, hello, little man. How are you doing? He was there, and the girls were all singing, Saul has killed his thousands, because they were gospel singers. But David has killed his tens of thousands. I can see Matt's starting to look at me with a jealous eye, so I'm going to put this down. only joking. All right. And so he started to get... You like it? Thank you very much. He starts to get jealous. He starts to get jealous, so jealous. So in our context, what we've got to appreciate, he started to feel threatened because he heard all the people saying, well, he's killed tens of thousands. That means they think he's better than me. He might be after the kingship next. And he starts to get fearful, he starts to get jealous. But what we've got to remember, that no man is in charge of our destiny. Mm. It is God who fits us where he wants us to be within the body. But jealousy will stop your momentum dead. Boom. Yeah. Okay? Let's not have any of that within Elohim Christian Church. Amen. If you desire responsibility in God's house, which is good, the way up is down. Okay? Mm. Humble yourself and God, who? God will exalt you. You can find that in 1 Peter 5:6, or you can find it in James 4:10. Exalt yourself. And God will humble you, okay, which is the opposite, and we don't want to do that. Not a good idea. Okay, all right, it's the only way. God has plenty of time. That's one thing God has got so much of, time. He has got plenty of time for us to get in line with his word and with his will. Why is that? Because he can't use proud people. It would be an absolute disaster. All right, God uses humble people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we understood the truth that God appoints and directs, and he's the one that gives gifts, and we're only here to build his kingdom, and nobody ever felt threatened by anybody else? Wouldn't it be a lot easier for his church if we just all rejoiced in each other's victories? Let's be a people that does that. Okay, so poor old Saul, he's so jealous that he wants to kill David now. He's out to get him. It's got that bad. 19 verse 10. Saul hurled his spear at David, but David dodged out of the way. And leaving the spear stuck into the wall, he fled and escaped into the night. Now some people may have thought, well, why didn't David pick up the spear and throw it back at him? He could have got rid of the problem. But, you know, that wasn't the kind of person that David was. You know, he honored the anointing. He knew that Saul was still God's anointed, and he wasn't going to attack him in any way, shape, or form. So just when you think it can't get any worse, we're going to hop forward again to 1 Samuel 28, verses 8 to 10. Let's see what it says. So Saul disguised himself by wearing ordinary clothes instead of his royal robes, and he went to the woman's house at night, accompanied by two of his men. I have to talk with a man who has died, he said. Will you call up his spirit for me? Are you trying to get me killed? The woman demanded. You know that Saul has outlawed all the mediums who consult the spirits of the dead. Why are you setting a trap for me? But Saul took an oath in the name of the Lord and promised, as surely as the Lord lives, nothing bad will happen to you for doing this. So, here's Saul. He can no longer hear from God. Unfortunately, he can hear from the enemy loud and clear. Mediums, knowingly or otherwise, consult evil spirits, or some versions talk about familiar spirits. Okay, so they're familiar with the dead person. So it's not actually a dead person that speaks to mediums. It's spirits. Okay? It's just a little bit of insight into the spiritual realm. Okay? So what does the enemy say? As always, it's not good. Gives Saul the message. Saul, you're going to die. That's a cheery message, isn't it? You know, it's kind of the opposite of what God says prophecy is for. And that's the way the enemy works. If you listen to the enemy, it's always going to be doom. It's always going to be negativity. It leaves you down like Saul on the floor. Okay, so let's not be listening to the enemy's voice. We got to make sure we listen to good and positive things, the good positive things from the positive kingdom that God is going to speak to us. How can we tell that God is speaking to us? It's going to be positive, it's going to be good, it's going to benefit us, it's going to edify us. Okay, what do? We rise up in faith against negativity. Resist the devil and he will... That's right, he will flee. Bring your thoughts captive to the positive kingdom. Right, the kingdom that is advancing, the kingdom that is bearing fruit, the one where all God's promises are yes and amen. God is not a man that he should lie or change his mind. The promises that God have given you, they're going to come true. Yes. Poor old Saul, he ends up destroying himself on the battlefield. The Bible tells us that when he was surrounded by his enemies, he fell upon his sword. Reminds me of what Pastor Colin said. He said, the devil's not your worst enemy, you are. Okay, and why did he say that? Because the devil has absolutely no authority over a believer, over a Christian. Only suggestion, only deception. We've got to make sure that we do not listen to the enemy. And the good news is that we aren't Saul. We have, and the better news is we have grace, we have repentance, and God is upon our side. Yeah. So, sum it up, guys. We're a people with forward momentum. Yes. We're chosen and we're fitted by God, not people. We've had our hearts changed by His Spirit. We can wait for God with patience, knowing that His hand is upon us. Okay, we're going to consult the Lord with all of our decisions. And if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I agree with that, you can nod your head. It does me good. Okay, we're going to respect and honor our leaders. We're going to hear God over people's voices, or instead of people's voices. Okay, we listen to God, not people. Anything that has been stolen from us, we can take it back, even if it means repentance. Okay. And we're going to praise and faith our way out of depression and fear. And we're not going to give in. We're not jealous, but we rejoice in each other's victories. Amen. We're an army, like the army of God. And we're not going to listen to the enemy, and we're not going to be the enemy's mouthpiece. Okay. We're going to pray. You can close your eyes. Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to thank you, Lord, that you never dress things up, Lord, but it is known as the truth. I want to thank you, Lord, that we get to see people's lives, Lord. And yeah, we can relate to some of those things. And Father, all those lessons that you have set in your word, I pray that we're just going to be able to take heed of them, Lord, that you, by the power of your Spirit, are going to help us to live out this life. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone, Lord, in this life. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the power of your Spirit to be able to live the Christian life. And Lord, all the things, Lord God, all the positive things, Lord, that we can see from King Saul, we want to see them at work within our lives. All the negative things, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you give us the power, Lord, and you give us the understanding to be able to stay away from those, Lord God. And I just want to pray, Lord God, for all of us, Lord, as we sit, as we meditate, Lord God, on what it is you want to do within our lives. Lord, if there are areas, Lord, that we can recognize some of the bad things, Lord God, that went on in Saul's life, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be able to deal with those situations. Lord, if we need to get alongside somebody, if we need a man of God to come alongside us or a woman of God to come alongside us, I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't be too proud to say, I'm going to go it alone. But, Lord, be prepared to get prayer and things like that. Lord God, I pray that you're going to help us, Lord. just to be the people that you intend us to be, a victorious people, moving forward, Lord, seeing your kingdom advancing, Lord, going from one victory to the next victory, to the next victory, and when we stumble and fall, you pick us up, Lord God, and we get going again. We just want to thank you, we want to praise you that you are there for us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for each other as well. Thank you, Lord, that you have put us together within this body, Lord, to be a strength one to another, Lord God. And I want to pray, Lord God, that you'd help us, Lord. You'd be with us, Lord. You'd make us more and more united, Lord God, that your love, Lord, would just be shed abroad in our midst, Lord God, that we would keep and we would fight for that unity. And we'd be aware, Lord God, of all the enemy's schemes, Lord God, that would seek to bring hurt, to bring division. And God, we just want to rebuke that right now in Jesus' name and hold on to all the good things that you've got for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Shane, over to you.